This is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, visiting today with Roger Bain, 94 years old. He'll turn 95 soon in Las Vegas, Nevada. He's originally from Rhinelander in northern Wisconsin, but in June of 1944, he was in Normandy. A 19-year-old infantryman with the 30th Infantry Division, assigned to I Company, 120th Infantry Regiment.
Everything was moving. That's what people don't understand. It takes so much material and things to keep infantry moving. Got to feed them, clothe them, and everything. Got to be brought up to it. If you're moving, and they got to move and keep moving and get moving. And after St. Lo, Patton broke out. Oh, that, Jesus, everything was on a move. You know?
Were you involved in the Battle of St. Lo, the breakout there?
I was on the edge of it, but I never. Our unit was in it.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, we was moving quite fast. We went into northern France. And you're moving all the time. Then, of course, you may be held up here. Another unit's going ahead, and then you come along. They started called leapfrogging. Units would leap through each other. And, of course, we closed the gap, and then we made a mess of the German army. That was a secret. There was a circular army, and then, of course, they was trying to break out, and we was trying to stop them. And they only had small ways to go, and they tried to get all their equipment out. And the Air Force ruined them. We took Aachen. I think it was the 29th Division, or I think it was the 29th. Took Aachen, and we encircled them to cut them off. I was 19, dumb kid.
Again, none of us have lived this, so you can help us understand. From the start of your day to the end of a day, as you're moving along, and maybe you don't know where the enemy is, or maybe you do, what are some of the things that you had to be aware of or watch out for that could end your life?
Well, you're in a position, you're going to jump off. We call it jumping off.
Right.
We're going to attack the enemy. It could be wooded areas, could be open ground. And they say, well, where are we going to go? Which direction? What? They say, well, I see that church deep away over there, a mile or so away. We'll go towards that. So, you know, what's after you start, you know, somebody's going to get some shooting going on. Then the war starts.
And shooting could be enemy rifles and machine guns. It could also be
mortars.
Uh-huh.
Artillery fire. You've got to go through all that.
Did you deal with tree bursts?
That's the worst kind is tree bursts.
Explain that to us for someone who doesn't know what that means or hasn't experienced it.
Well, an artillery shell comes in and it hits a tree. Then the shrapnel blows up in the air and covers a big area. Or if a round hits soft ground, it's muffled a little bit. A shrapnel don't go as far. Everything is hits the ground, it goes in the ground, and explodes.
So if you're in a situation and that artillery fire is coming in, you know you're susceptible to getting hit by a shell or by a tree burst or whatever. What do you do in a situation like that?
Keep going.
Just keep going.
Yeah. When you get far enough, get close enough to the enemy, they can't shoot at you. But I got hit with a mortar round. But you got to keep going. You don't stop. If a guy gets hit, you call a medic and keep going. You don't stop.
How many times were you wounded?
Twice, slightly. Didn't mount up too much, I didn't think.
There's a Purple Heart on your head over there. So the Army must have thought it was significant enough. I'm wondering if, before you got wounded, if there were some close calls that got your attention.
Oh, lots of them.
Can you give us some examples of what that was like, how you experienced it?
Well, how do you say it? A bullet comes by you, close to your ear. It cracks. It goes zing. It cracks in your ear.
You don't know it's coming until you hear the crack.
No, you hear a crack. Shells are flying in all directions. I was on my hands and knees crawling under a fence, and a whole company is out in the open there. And a machine gunner is shooting from the side of us, just shooting. He's a long ways away. And I was on my hands and knees, and a bullet hit under my nose, dug the ground up. And all I could think of was, why are you shooting at me? There's all these other guys. But, you know, stuff like that, you know. Not a lot of times you just get shot at.
Was it hard to sleep at night in light of all of that?
You're tired. I slept in the coal bins. I slept in lots of foxholes, sub-zero weather in a foxhole. Mm-hmm. Had to stay awake, try to sleep a little bit, two guys in a hole. That's in Melbourne. Other times you try to dig a little hole and just kind of get behind something.
Yeah, and I want to talk to you about that time period once December rolled around. But from the time you landed in June, you said they pushed you up into northern France. Did you guys go through the Netherlands, too, before you ended up at the Bulge?
Belgium, Holland.
Uh-huh.
There wasn't much going on there.
Did you get a feel for the people whose freedom you were fighting for, in addition to your own as an American?
You kind of felt sorry for us. A little short on food, you know. They're always glad to see you, you know. That's when you're the first ones there. They're happy to see you.
Yeah.
But then after we're going through it and the rear echelon comes through, they always ruin everything. But that's just an instrumental way of thinking. They were very pleased to see us. We'd get a little something to drink now and then, too.
So by the time middle of December, 44 rolls around, you've already been in combat for 6 months. You're probably getting a little tired?
You're always tired. You're always moving. You're always walking. Unless you're going a long ways, they truck you.
Uh-huh.
You're always looking for some time to sleep. You're always wanting to sleep.
Do you ever wish you could just go home?
Well, I know I ain't going to go home till it's over. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
If you make it.
Did you hear from your family back home at all?
Oh, yeah. Some people wrote me. Trying to fill you in on what's going on. The whole country is on war footing, you know, and they're pretty tight. You
mm-hmm.
know? Gasoline was 3 gallons a week or something like that. Nobody went nowhere. Food was rationed. Sugar was rationed.
Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff. Of course, you lived off venison and rabbits.
Up in northern Wisconsin, you can do that.
Yeah.
But you're over here in Europe, and you don't know that the Battle of the Bulge is about to begin.
No.
Where were you when that happened?
I was in Aachen, Germany.
Uh-huh.
And we just gone through Aachen. Then it's over with, and we start moving into the terminal.
Where did they send you?
They sent us to Malmedy, Belgium.
If anyone's ever heard the city Malmedy, there's one reason that they know the name of that city, that one of the worst atrocities of World War II occurred there.
You heard about that, where the Germans murdered the prisoners?
Yeah.
Yeah, we went through that.
Well, let's hear about it. How did you experience this? And for people who don't know.
I was on the edge of it. I didn't see the body. I just, the guys had seen it. They was just shot down and frozen bodies, you know.
Yeah.
It's a German tank outfit. Take no prisoners.
Yes, the Malmedy Massacre on December 17th, 1944, when German forces under Joachim Peiper executed 84 American prisoners, lining them up in a field, machine gunning them, and then going back around to see any who were still alive to finish them off. They left those bodies in the snow for others to see as they passed that crossroads. And it sounds like, Roger, you could have ended up as part of that if the timing had been a little different.
But it was a medical outfit.
When you come through Malmedy, you guys learned of what had happened there?
Yeah, we was in Malmedy, and it was happening. So I don't know what day it was. And we was in Malmedy for quite a while.
So you were actually there when this happened, not too far away from where it happened.
See, we was in Malmedy at night. Malmedy wasn't defended. And we come at night, and we got positions. And the funny part, we was on a hill, a steep hill looking down. I could look down towards the enemy. And they had an anti-tank cannon there. And they come at night, too, and they pointed the cannon down a dead-end street. But that's how confused it was. You know?
Well, I don't want to press too hard on this because I understand it's you didn't experience it firsthand, but you were really close to this, where these Americans are basically just gunned down in cold blood after they've been captured by the Germans on one of these crossings in Malmedy. What kind of feelings or emotions did that stir in you and your fellow soldiers?
Well, we thought it was a hell of a thing to do, you know. We never delivered, I don't think, maybe somebody did, that burned them in cold blood like that. I never did it myself. Could have.
But
after we found out about it, then we got a pretty cold-blooded. Some of the guys, on the 13th, we jumped off. We had a big push. I think it was towards St. Vith or something.
Uh-huh.
And then I got hit on the 13th. Anyway, before I was hit, I seen this platoon sergeant was helping another fellow we call Slim Siebel. He was hit, and he was holding him, not carrying, but Holy Fallen, and they had a prisoner. And this prisoner was hopping through the snow. The snow was up over your knees. Mm-hmm. And I said, what the hell's wrong with that guy? When I got closer, this platoon sergeant had a pair of combat boots around his neck. He took them off that prisoner and made him go barefoot through the snow. And they got to the medics anyway.
Oof.
Then later that day, I got hit.
Well, tell me about that. Where were you? What happened?
You want the whole story?
Of course I want the whole story.
Well, we jumped off. We met the servants, and there was shooting going on. And I had a BAR shooting it.
Right.
Stopped. Jammed. And there I am with a jammed gun. The company commander was laying there. The medic was working on him. And so I went over to help. He was bad hit. He looked pretty bad to me.
The company commander?
Yeah. I helped take him, haul him back on letters. And then I went back up for three or four other guys with me. And we drawed mortar fire. And so these other guys laid down, and I stood up. I got hit. So I went back. We went 3 days. We fought for 3 days. I was in the hospital, and I talked to some guys. He said, our company's wiped out. Well, I said, oh, bad. Pretty bad, he says. All he was left of one platoon was a platoon guide.
Wow.
All the guys, all I knew everybody was, very few guys left.
Well, that brings up a lot of questions for me. One, just so everybody understands the situation here. So you've got this BAR, this Browning automatic rifle. The whole point is you've got a little more firepower than the guys with the regular rifle. You can get more shots off more quickly.
Yeah, 20 rounds a clip.
But then when it jams, it's no use to you at all.
Yeah, well, now I got to stop, see what caused it.
Right. So you're defenseless, really.
Yeah.
And you see your company commander's hurt, so you need to help evacuate him.
Yeah.
And then you come back up, and the mortar shells are coming in, and you see the guys that are taking cover lying down?
No, they was pushed on past me.
Uh-huh. But you stayed on your feet?
Yeah, I was on my feet till got the guy back, the captain back. I don't know if I never did find out if he ever lived. I had doubts that he lived.
Your company commander?
Yeah.
Do you remember his name?
No, he was the new company commander. Other Captain Shaw was got hit and he was gone. This guy just come up.
And that was the nature of this kind of combat, as you underscored earlier.
I never even knew his name.
Wow. And so then you're coming back up there and a mortar shell comes in. And how close did it hit to where you were standing?
Oh, God, I don't know. It was very far away.
And where did the shrapnel hit you?
In the leg.
So did you feel it?
No. Oh, it knocked the leg out from underneath me, but it didn't hurt. A medic was with me, and I said, I think I hit, Doc. He said, can you stand on it? I said, yeah. He said, it ain't broke. Hauled me back to the state, he patched me up. He went back.
So once they took you to the aid station?
It's all in the dark.
All in the dark.
Yeah, it's like I sat in a chair till the ambulance came, and they put me in the ambulance. It got stiff. I couldn't bend it. And a bunch of other guys in it got to the field hospital. And I got to a hospital at Lage, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
And then buzz bombs was coming over, and it made a lot of racket. And all the people in the hospital all quivering, scared, you know, they'd listen, because as soon as it stopped running, it'd fall. Didn't bother me at all. Let her go. I'm laughing at these people so scared. Oh, Jesus, all shook up. They ain't going to hit me anyway. I can hear it.
Yeah, as long as it's still going, it's not going to hit you. Were you in any kind of pain?
No. In the first hospital I got to, all they looked at it and gave me a shot.
All right.
Typhus, I imagine. Then I went to the hospital and they dug it out. Then I went to the field, recovered, and I went back.
But while you're away in the hospital, your unit, your platoon, continues to fight for three more days.
Two after I was on the first day, 3 days.
So for two more days, they're in combat, and you find out later.
I was in the hospital and asked questions about the guys.
And they told you almost everyone's gone.
They're pretty well wiped out, killed and wounded.
How hard was that to hear?
Well, pretty bad when you hear the guys that you know, that you like to know.
Yeah. And did it register then, or has it in all these years since, that wound in your leg might have saved your life?
Nobody staying away. I thought of an accident for 6-8 weeks. I don't know how long. Then I was back up, went back to the same unit. And I went to the same unit, all strangers. Just a couple guys I knew that come back too, you know.
Uh-huh. So 6 to 8 weeks off the lines during the Battle of the Bulge, when these brutal winter conditions are also challenging. How much have you learned since about what your company, your regiment, your division went through for that time where you were recovering?
Well, yeah, they crossed the Rhine River. After the Rhine River, I come back to them. And then we went to Germany, to Magdeburg, Germany, where we met the Russians.
It's time for our final break, but there's much more to come with soon-to-be 95-year-old Roger Bain of Las Vegas, Nevada. He said he was wounded twice, and we've only heard about one. What else did he see in World War II in Europe, and what was it like to go on an honor flight to Washington, D.C.? Hometown Heroes will be right back after this.